Yes, hello, welcome. You're listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Get you into the program here today. Anything you'd like to talk about. What's on your mind? Maybe you heard some of the breaking news from today. There is a lot of things that are breaking in the world of sports. Let's get started with today's topics. First of all, before we get into what I know everybody saw from earlier today, that being the news of O.J. Simpson's passing, there's other news that it might be a little bit more important at this point. We've been talking over the past few weeks about Shohei Ohtani and gambling and sports and all of these sports leagues now having legalized gambling and having a betting partner and, you know, the official sports book of the MLB or the official sports book of the NFL. Well, it was only a matter of time before one of the players got into some hot water with these gambling sites and sports leagues didn't see it coming, I guess. I don't know how they didn't. But Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipepi, I'm not even going to try to say his last name, same as last time. So here's how the story went. Here's what was going on. Ohtani's interpreter said that Shohei Ohtani paid off some of his gambling debts, and red flags were raised because that sounds an awful lot like Shohei Ohtani giving his interpreter money to go bet on games. If you twist it a certain way, but that is what worst case scenario was. And that was what a lot of people were talking about. Now this broke during spring training, actually during the Dodgers' first regular season game in South Korea is when this news broke. Well, today we get a little bit of true news here. This is official. The former interpreter for Shohei Ohtani stole more than $16 million over 2 years from the superstar to pay off gambling debts to an illegal sports book, according to an affidavit filed to federal authorities on Thursday. Best case scenario for Major League Baseball right there. And, you know, it's terrible what's going on, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in the show, but it is one of the news stories of the day that I think you need to be aware of. Ohtani has basically been cleared of any wrongdoing here. This is now an investigation as to how Ohtani's interpreter was able to steal $16 million away, and not only that, but he was betting with an illegal sports book. So it's an interesting time. I don't expect anything serious to come out of this, except for maybe the interpreter going to prison for a little while, but, you know, to each their own, I guess. But that is the news out of the MLB today, and we got other news stories breaking as well, including the O.J. Simpson story, Tom Brady. Yes, I hope you guys remember Tom Brady. He's back in the news, yep, making headlines. Can't get away from Tom Brady. Also, right now the Masters are currently going on. Just so you know what's going on, Bryson DeChambeau is currently the leader at 7 under par. He has finished his round. He was one of the earlier ones today. We have NHL action later tonight. Carolina Hurricanes are taking on a team that they should probably beat. That being tomorrow. The Rangers, the team that they're chasing, they're in action today. So possible scenario here for Carolina to cut that deficit to 1 point in the standings. We would need a New York Ranger loss and a Carolina win tomorrow. Not out of the question, but still we're hopeful thinking here. We're not going to worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario isn't even bad. Worst case scenario is Carolina is the 2 seed in the Metro and they play the 3. They still have home ice in round 1. And then it really It matters how the rest of the league, how the rest of the playoffs shake out after that. But worst case scenario is still playoffs. So we'll get into all of that today. Good show on tap for you today. But before we do that, we got to get to our high school sports. We've been covering baseball every single day. We are going to introduce lacrosse into the mix today as well, as there are a few schools that have some pretty good lacrosse teams that I think maybe you should know about as we move through the spring sports season. But starting with baseball, same way we always do, Lake Norman was in action last night, taking on West Rowan on the road. Unfortunately, they dropped their third consecutive game there, losing to West Rowan 5-4. And all of these losses that Lake Norman is accruing are not bad losses. 8-5 loss to Covenant Day in the Jack Sink tournament. 3-2 loss against Cox Mill High School. West Rowan last night, they lost 5-4. So they're getting good results. They just can't pull out the win. And I think it's going to end up turning around for Lake Norman, because when you look at the way they play the game, they're a good team. They were winning against West Rowan going into the fifth inning, and it kind of fell apart for them as they gave up two in that fifth inning. But I do expect Lake Norman to turn it around and start winning again. Remember, the beginning of the year was tough for Lake Norman. And then they went on that 9-game winning streak. Since that ended, they've lost 3 in a row. So it's time to turn it around, because you're 10-7 overall, which is good, but at the same time, it's not great. So let's come on. Let's get back going here, Lake Norman. Figure it out. 5-2 in the conference, and they have a game coming up tomorrow, a rematch against Cox Mill. That one will be on the road. Also, last night, North Iredell was in action, taking on St. Stephen's, and we were telling you they are still trying to break out of that 500 mediocrity that they've been hovering around all year. Well, they lost one last night to St. Stephen's, 2-1, a very grinded game there. Tough loss for the Raiders, but not all hope is lost. They're still 4-3 in their conference, and at 5-6, they still have time to turn it around. You know, a few wins in a row, all of a sudden North Iredell is in pretty good standings when it comes to their record and the conference standings. So they're not out of it yet. We're still looking at North Iredell as a team to make some noise as we get later in the year. I don't know about the playoffs. If they got to go on a winning streak. They got to get a few games under their belt where they really start to win, and then we'll talk about the possibility of playoffs. Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. Anyway, I'm just joking. We're going to talk playoffs here because it's coming up less than a month away. I know spring sports are already dwindling down. What's that all about? We just started. Plenty of show left. We're going to continue with the high schools on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. When we return, we're doing high school coverage. We'll get into the Masters a little bit, hit some headlines, and then we got NASCAR and the NHL to end the show. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this right here on The Scoreboard.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Here, second segment on The Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4, it'll get you on the program, part of the show, anything you'd like to talk about. Just ask me, and we'll chat about it. We are in the middle of our high school sports segment. talking about baseball and some of the teams that are looking good. Man, Lake Norman, I did not expect them to not only start the year as bad as they did, but also to go on this three-game losing streak after torching people throughout that early part of the season. But now they sit close to 500. And a lot of schools in the area are close to 500. That seems to be the mantra right now. Like we said, North Iredell 5-6. Moving on to talk about West Iredell, they were sitting at 4-4 a couple of weeks ago. But after last night's game against Hickory High School, West Iredell's record now stands at 4-9. Man, all these baseball teams in the area are just having a rough go of it this year. That's what it seems like to me. Now, I know there's a lot, little bit of history there of losing. You don't like hearing that, but it is true. There's not a lot of winning that's been done with West Iredell baseball over the past few years. But you would think eventually things would turn around. Four wins this year is like the most they've had in quite some time, since it seems like 2018. So West Iredell last night, they lost their game to Hickory. They play again on Friday, dropping to 4-9 on the season. Just not the year that they wanted to have. A team that is looking to figure it out. I can't put my hand on this team here. South Iredell High School, the Vikings. They are 9-7 right now. They were really good a little while ago. They were killing it. And then they lost a couple in a row. They lost three consecutive games. And now over the past four games, they're playing 500 baseball. How many times have we said that? 500. Everybody is right there in mediocrity. Now, South Iredell might be a little bit better than mediocre, but their record has not really shown me anything yet this year. And their game last night against Forbush, they lost that one 6-5, giving up the game-winning run in the bottom of the seventh inning. They're in these games, they just can't pull them out. And we said the exact same thing about Lake Norman. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a team in the area that goes deep into the playoffs this year in baseball. It's going to be tough. But you know, once we get to that playoff time, we are going to be covering it, letting you know who's looking good, who's got a chance at a state championship. All right, let's change gears a little bit. We're going to stick with high school, but we're going to introduce a new sport, high school lacrosse. Now, there's not many schools in the area that we cover every single day that have a lacrosse team, but I'm looking at the NC rankings, the North Carolina lacrosse rankings, and the country, both on Max Preps here. Right now, Lake Norman High School is 10-4 in lacrosse, 1-0 in their conference, so pretty good season for them so far. Mooresville is 8-4, and South Iredell, yes, they have a lacrosse team as well. Not as good as the other two, though. Currently 0-11-1. They tied to Bradford Prep on the second game of the year. So there are a couple of good teams, and there's more to be found as well. Right now, in the high school rankings for North Carolina, Charlotte Catholic is the number one team in the state. Third, down in Cornelius is Huff High School. Huff High School currently 8-1 on their season in lacrosse. They are ranked third in the state of North Carolina, and they are ranked 25th in the country. Now, these rankings are according to Max Preps. I'm sure that other sites have their own rankings, and it might be a little bit different. But Huff High School down there in Cornelius, 25th in the country when it comes to lacrosse. Now, sixth in the state is the team we were just talking about, Lake Norman High School. They are sixth in the state of North Carolina. Nationally, they're just as good. 71st in the state of North, in the country. Sixth in the state, 71st in the country. Now, I know lacrosse isn't the most popular sport in the world. I don't know anyone personally that goes out and seeks watching lacrosse. Maybe they're out there. Maybe there's lacrosse people. I mean, there's got to be fans of lacrosse. But as far as going out and watching a game, professional game, you don't see much of that. You don't hear about it all that much. Also, in the state of North Carolina, some other schools in the area that are in the top 25. This is just the top 25 right now. Charlotte Christian, Lake Norman Charter is in there. Community School of Davidson. Lake Norman, which we talked about. Providence Day down in Charlotte. Cannon School in Concord. Second-ranked team in the state of North Carolina. Whoo! There's some good teams there. And in this area specifically, there are a lot of good teams. We also got, by the way, North Lincoln is ranked 35th. Mooresville ranked 38th in the state. Or in the, yeah, in the state. And now for the country, though. Charlotte Catholic is ranked 3rd in the country in lacrosse. Whew. The Charlotte Catholic Cougars. Now, they always have good sports programs. They do. Even the baseball team is doing good this year. 13-5. But they're in a completely different conference. I don't even know if we reach that far into Charlotte, that far south. But shout out to them. You know, Charlotte Catholic being the number 3 team in the state of North Carolina, or number 2 state in the North Carolina, and the number 3 team in the country. Whew. We're going to have a lot to cover when it comes to playoffs this year. Baseball, lacrosse, girls soccer. Girls soccer we went over yesterday. There are some good teams. So as always, as I say every time we talk about high school sports, if you know somebody who had a good game or you know a team that's been performing well and I haven't shouted them out here on the scoreboard, call me, 844-STUDIO-4. I'd love nothing more than to hear from you guys and hear the passion between behind the high school athletics, baseball, women's soccer, lacrosse, women's lacrosse. Tennis is going on as well. I know that much. Tennis is far into their season. So we're going to have quite a bit to cover once we get, I think right when we get into May, like the second week of May is when all of these playoffs are going to begin. So we got a little bit of time. The jockeying's going to continue. The winning is going to need to continue for some of these schools. I'm looking at you, South Iredell. I'm looking at you, North Iredell. I'm looking at you, Lake Norman. You better get back to your winning ways. You don't want to be left out of those playoffs after the start you had to the year. Whew. That would be tough. All right, moving on now. We're done with the high school scene. Something that started today and is going on through Sunday is the Masters down there in Augusta, Georgia. A little bit delayed this morning because of the weather. But right now, Bryson DeChambeau is your leader. He is in the LIV Tour. He is not a PGA golfer. He is a LIV golfer. But, you know, the fallout with all that and what a mess that is. Golf is funny in my humblest of opinion. It's just funny. Now, don't expect me to come in tomorrow or Friday or Monday and tell you that I sat down and watched an entire golf tournament, because I can't do it. All right. I'm just not old enough. I'm not. There's other things that going on other than sitting down and watching golf. I'll go play golf. I'll keep my eye on what's going on in golf, but I can't sit down and watch. There's a lot of other things going on. We have NASCAR starting tomorrow. We have the Carolina Hurricanes making a playoff push. They're looking to go deep into the playoffs. I just can't sit and watch the slow-paced golf. But I'll continue to cover it. We'll talk about it. What we will talk about on the other side of the break is some of these news stories that are breaking today. Because, man, oh, man, there's a lot going on. Talked a little bit of Otani, some OJ, Tom Brady in the news. You should stay tuned because this is a good one. We're back after this.
More of sports director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, we are back, second half of the show here today, and boy, do we still have a lot to get to. Whew. 844 Studio 4, that's the phone number. Chat with us, anything you'd like to talk about, we're here for you today. I know there's a lot going on. Baseball's in shambles. OJ just passed. Tom Brady's making headlines. Let's start with that one. We're going to go over some news stories from the day. Starting with Tom Brady. And this one is hilarious to me. Tom Brady, in an appearance on the Deep Cut podcast released on Thursday, was asked by host Vic Blenz if he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury. Here's the quote from Tom Brady. "I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me... if I become an owner of an NFL team, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it." At least this retirement lasted a little longer, right? Remember the first time he retired a couple of years ago and 40 days later, he was like, "Nah, never mind. I want to keep playing. I don't want to go away yet." Oh, man, imagine, like, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt in week 15, and they say, "Yeah, he'll be back week one of the playoffs, but we're still in a playoff race here. We're battling." Just the thoughts that this could happen, that we could see Tom Brady get signed just like Joe Flacco did, off the couch next year. Oh, I hope it happens. I do. I'd love nothing more than a retired Tom Brady to say, "I'm coming back again. And then I got to retire for the third time." Although I don't know how it works. I don't know if he's still under contract with the Buccaneers. I believe that contract is over now. You know, you got to get through all the hoops that you come up with when you retire to come back. He's 46 years old. I'd love to see him playing at 52. Why not? Do it. Have fun. So don't be surprised if later on this year you see Tom Brady making headlines saying, "Hey, I'll come play for your team because your quarterbacks are injured and you're trying to make the playoffs." All I can do is sigh. What are we doing? What are you doing, Tom? Do you really want this? That's what he said. But he is becoming a part owner of a team, that team being the Raiders, which is also kind of ironic considering the Tuck rule and the abomination that was. Anyway, let's talk about this Shohei Ohtani story. Ohtani's been cleared. In my opinion, the FBI, the IRS, interviewing and asking questions to his interpreter is clear enough to me that what happened was he stole Ohtani's money. Plain and simple. And it was scary. It was a really scary moment when you see Ohtani is connected to gambling. And the connection was his interpreter decided to steal his money. But the story that he was saying was, hey, Ohtani lent me $2,000 to pay off my gambling debts, which is a big old no. A big no. Don't do that. But anyway, turns out he didn't do that. His money was stolen. The IRS is, the FBI is looking into it. And Ohtani went to his press conference when he got back to the States after playing in South Korea. And he had that press conference where he said, no, this isn't true. I had my money stolen from me. Because all of this was breaking while Ohtani was in South Korea. And I find it funny, the image of those two standing together in the dugout while chaos is happening in the States and Ohtani's name is coming up with gambling. The funniest thing about the internet nowadays is you go on Twitter or X and you look at that press conference, and obviously he's speaking Japanese, so somebody needs to translate it, and they just translate it saying nonsense, like, yeah, I'm putting money on the Angels tonight. I'm also betting the money line for... It's just funny stuff. The internet comes up with some interesting things when bad stuff happens. Speaking of bad stuff... Yeah, I made that transition. O.J. Simpson passed away yesterday at the age of 76 from cancer. Say what you want. I'm not going to talk about the public aspect of this with the trial and everything there. All I'm going to say is he still has the most impressive rushing season of all time. And there's no way you can say otherwise. In 1973, O.J. Simpson, 14 games, 2,003 yards rushing. That is 143 yards per game, the highest yards per game rushing in NFL history. No, he does not own the record for the most yards in a season, but we play 17 games now. You can do the math. If he had 2,000 yards in 14 games, how many did he have? Would he have had in 17? One of the most impressive rushing seasons of all time. And not only that, he then backed it up in 1975 with 129 yards per game, 1,800 yards in 14 games. One of the best running backs of all time. There is no doubt about that. Obviously, some other issues with O.J. Simpson, but you cannot deny it. You cannot take it out of the record books. He was one of the best running backs in the league ever. So that was in the news. That happening this morning. TMZ, as they always are, breaking that story early this morning that O.J. Simpson passed away from cancer. One other thing. In the news today, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, we're not done talking about Caitlin Clark. So I'm happy because this is what I feared. We would get out of the tournament. We're a few days post-tournament now. And Caitlin Clark's in the news. So here is what's going on. The draft is coming up next week, Monday, the WNBA draft. And the Indiana Fever have the number one overall pick. According to resale tickets and season tickets, Caitlin Clark is already having a significant impact on the WNBA. So here's the story. The presumptive first overall pick in Monday's WNBA draft is driving an uptick in interest and ticket prices to see the Indiana Fever, which holds the number one overall pick. The Fever were second to last in WNBA home attendance last season, averaging just over 4,000 fans a game. They would only confirm a spike in ticket interest, declining to comment on specifics, but the team is responding to surge of interest by taking the unprecedented steps of pre-selling single game tickets to two games per day over a 15-day stretch heading into Monday.
Now more of the scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. My bad. I got too into it. I got way too into it, and we blew right past the commercial break. I'm over here talking about the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark driving sales of tickets there through the roof, and you radio listeners are listening to the weather update. Sorry. My bad. E me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. We're back, though. Final segment here on the scoreboard, 844-STUDIO-4. That is the phone number. Chat about anything you'd like, all right? We're talking about Caitlin Clark right now because this is important. You need to know this. On the other side of the break, I don't even know at what point I got interrupted by our commercials. Thank you very much. No, we love our sponsors. I was saying that the ticket prices are surging. Ticket sales are surging. Vivid Seats reported that they have seen a price increase of 91% to the season opener for the Indiana Fever since Caitlin Clark declared for the draft. The Fever's home opener has seen a 50% price increase. According to, let's see, there was another one. SeatGeek, the average Indiana Fever resale price for home games is currently $182. $182. That is an increase of 136%. You think that's it? That's not all. The Las Vegas Aces. The Aces play their games over at the Michelob Ultra Arena. They have moved their July 2nd game to T-Mobile Arena, which is where the Vegas Golden Knights play, as a direct result of heightened demand for tickets. Now, the team did say that they've played games at T-Mobile before, but it was specifically because of a scheduling conflict. This is the first time that they've ever had to move to T-Mobile Arena because they weren't going to be able to sell enough tickets. Okay. This is momentum. This is some momentum for the WNBA. What do they do to capitalize on this? I'm not sure. Some of the things are already set in stone. Like you already have your TV deals and your contracts and stuff like that. The WNBA draft will be on national television on Monday. Also, the Indiana Fever will have 30 of its 40 games this season shown by a national broadcast or a streaming partner. 8 of those games will be on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. So there's the kind of an answer. The WNBA is going to try their best to market Caitlin Clark, which is what they need to do. And anybody knows that. I mean, you could barely know anything about basketball, and all you need to know is market Caitlin Clark. So that's what it seems like they're going to do. And I'm very curious to see what happens, what kind of coverage they have of the WNBA draft next week. And look, I'm going to be tuning into some WNBA games next year. I want to see how Clark does. I do. I want to see what those stands look like. Can you fill the seats? I just got done telling you that there is a 136% price increase for resale tickets on SeatGeek. Can you fill those seats now? I think they will. This is a phenomenon, right? This is different than we've ever seen before. So the WNBA draft coming up next week. We'll see what happens there. A little bit of an update. Let's see if we can get a Masters update for you. Right now, it looks like Bryson DeChambeau is still the leader at 7-under. Scottie Scheffler has moved into second place at 5-under. He's on 16 right now. And everybody's favorite, Tiger? Where's Tiger at? Oh, that's not Tiger. Currently tied for 30th through 6 at even. Even par. Okay, not bad. I know he was taking this very seriously. Some of the stories of what he was doing to prep for the Masters this year. Whew. I encourage you to look it up. Okay, so NASCAR, we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow. We'll preview the weekend. Just so you know, there is an announcement from NASCAR today. Now, I told you at the beginning of the year that next season, all Xfinity races will be broadcast on the CW, which is a channel on your TV. Yes, the CW. That was supposed to start next year, but it was announced today that the CW will exclusively broadcast the final 8 races of the NASCAR Xfinity Series this fall. So they're starting that a little bit early. Not sure why. I'm curious what's going on with NBC. They lost the NBC Sports Channel not long ago in that department, and they lost Dale Jr. on air for their broadcast booth. I'm just curious what's going on with NBC Sports. I love the NBC Sports Channel personally. Doc, Mike Emmerich, the announcer for NHL, he was very prominent for NBC. Miss him as well. Man, I worked at NBC Sports. I don't know if anybody knows that about me here in the area, but I did work at that building in Connecticut for a little bit doing nothing crazy. Game logging for the NHL, which basically I sat there, watched a hockey game and said, okay, something happened, and just put it into a Word document. But man, I'm wondering what's going on there. That is very interesting to me that the CW is beginning their broadcast of NASCAR early. So that's the news. I guess there's nothing we can do to stop it. This deal, by the way, the CW is going to be the exclusive home of Xfinity Series racing until 2031. They're going to also be broadcasting practice and qualifying, by the way. That's part of the deal. So that's pretty cool. But I am curious. Why the CW? I don't know if that's a main channel. Like, everybody has it. But then again, does everybody have every channel? I don't know. My other question is streaming. I've never watched a live event on the CW. I don't think I've ever tuned into the CW. Do they have a streaming app? Can you get the Xfinity races on demand? Because with Fox, with NBC, you can go to their website and sign in with your TV provider and boom, there you go. You can watch on demand. I don't know. I guess there's still a lot to be sorted out with that. We have until next year for everything to start, but we're getting an early taste of it at the end of the season. So the playoffs will be broadcast by the CW for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. This is the Xfinity Series specifically, not Cup. Sunday is not changing. This is Saturday. Just thought I'd tighten that up a little, make sure everybody knows exactly what's going on. Man, we really didn't have that much time to get into the NHL today. Just know that there are very important games going on all night tonight, starting with Washington and Buffalo, all the way down to Calgary, Los Angeles. All of these games mean something tonight. The biggest ones that you have to keep your eye on for the Carolina Hurricanes are the New York Rangers at the Philadelphia Flyers, The Philadelphia Flyers at the New York Rangers, the Detroit Red Wings at the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Montreal Canadiens at the New York Islanders. Those are the games tonight that you should keep an eye on. Tomorrow, Carolina is in action. They're on the road taking on the St. Louis Blues, who are just out of a playoff spot. So they're still better than that team, and I would expect them to come out victorious in that game tomorrow. If the New York Rangers lose tonight, Carolina Hurricanes win tomorrow, it's a whole new ball game. Carolina would only be 1 point behind the Rangers with 4 points still available to both teams. 3 games left in the regular season. We are getting down to it. Playoffs are right around the corner. It is the best playoff in sports. March Madness is great. We just saw it. March Madness is great, but there is absolutely nothing like the NHL playoffs. That's going to be all the time that we have for today. On this day, I got one thing for you. On this day, last year, 1 year ago today, the NHL Boston Bruins broke a record for the most team points in a season at 133. Just so you know, the team with the most points right now is the New York Rangers. They are only at 110 with a maximum amount of points that they could get this year at 116. The Bruins in the regular season last year dominated. And then they blew it in round one of the playoffs. But we don't want to think about that. Thanks for joining me here today. Tomorrow's Friday. We have a lot of previewing to do, so tune in. I'll talk to you guys then. Have a good night, everyone.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.